FMKMOX. Happy Wednesday. As Jacob points out, feels very much like a thirsty Thursday.
I keep thinking today is Thursday. Mike Elam was in talking to us earlier, and I was like, well, that makes sense because it's Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We talked to him on Thursday.
It's kind of our Thursday because Friday we only do an hour. I think the game's at 3, pregame's at 2, our show's at 1, we'll do 1 to 2. So that kind of feels like a day off.
Yeah, it's pretty close to it.
Yeah.
Like 95%.
Yep. And I don't know why I always feel like I need to tell people I'm taking the day off, because I feel guilty. That's what it is. I'm so Jack Glover's son, and so I'm taking Monday off just to have like that longer weekend. So there you go.
Nice.
David, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Even in college, like if I didn't have a class one day and I wasn't working that day, I just felt terrible. Just felt so guilty. Huh. So, yeah. It's not going away. Like, if I ever do retire, which my plan is really not to, so long as my marbles stay intact, I would like to be the lead of this show as long as I can. And then my plan is to kind of pull a Mark Close and be on someone else's show and just sort of be a sniper. That'd be great. But, like, if I ever did retire, it would probably take me a full year or two to not just feel like a POS every day because of that Wilson Street that's in me, you know?
I get you.
Yeah. This is not going to sound funny when I first start telling you, but I promise you it's funny. So you may have noticed that I have been catching my breath a lot during the show, and I have something going on, something respiratory. I'm not sick. I haven't been sick since Christmas, but it has that thing, like we've all had it, when you talk or laugh or if you breathe real deep, it feels kind of cold in your chest and you cough. And I had that going on, and I was telling the guys about it at lunch, and Rachel's like, yeah, I noticed you doing that quite a bit yesterday. And Andrew immediately jumps in, as Andrew does, and he tells me what it is. He gives me the name of the disease.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, now, I don't want to scare you, but the person I knew that had it died. Mm. And I'm like, I'm scared. And then he's like, I have something for you. And he stands up and he goes to the corner of the room, which I didn't know anything existed there.
And he ruffles around for minutes.
He pulls out a big bag full of tricks.
Yeah, it's a bag of stuff.
And he's just going through it. And we're looking at each other and we're laughing. And he pulls out a prescription bottle and brings it over and puts it in front of me. And he's like, you should take one of those.
Yeah. And you didn't. And I was like, well, then I don't know what I'm supposed to do for you.
Because it's look, I'm not above taking another guy's prescription. But when you're diagnosing the problem I have and you have the medication for it, I'm like, I don't know that this is a good idea.
And by the way, I said, don't be scared.
You told me that.
Before I told you about how the person died.
No, you told me that.
Don't be scared. Here's
so it's
a terrifying
like, you know,
fact.
You're supposed to not be scared by it.
Am I remembering this correctly? Did Andrew say you probably had this condition?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably
is what he said. Probably.
Based on the one symptom Dave gave, which is kind of short of breath these days.
99% positive. Yeah.
And being me,
Dr. Andrew,
I already know it's either lung cancer or COPD. So, like, those are my choices. Then you threw a third one in.
Well, no. I threw a fourth one in because I was like, well, if you don't have that, then you probably have asthma.
He said you could be developing
asthma.
Yeah,
you're developing asthma. Like, I probably just have a little something.
You probably have a lingering respiratory infection. That's probably what it is.
Now he's diagnosed it.
Well, that was the fifth thing that it could be. Because I do get those sometimes. That's what that medicine is actually for, technically.
Oh, so you led with the scary stuff and not with the routine.
What? I said don't be scared.
What's the medication for?
Like a lingering. And so the medication is a prescription strength expectorant.
Okay.
Which means that when you take it, it loosens up the stuff that's in your lungs and makes you cough it out.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's Mucinex, essentially, but on, like, a prescription strength. I forget what it's called. It's called, like, benzotape or something.
And I don't even, like, I don't have any of that. I don't have any phlegm. I don't have any
weirdness.
No,
you don't have gunk in the lungs?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, then it's not
that
first thing.
It's weird that you prescribed him the gunk in the lungs medication, then.
Yeah, well.
And he didn't even ask me the question.
It also means that you don't have that first thing that I mentioned.
What sort of physician are you?
Because the first thing that I mentioned is all about gunk in the lungs.
What else do you have in that bag?
All kinds of stuff. I found
it's Mary Poppins' bag.
Multiple pieces of the original Camel X Tower are in there. I don't know how I acquired more than one of them.
Does the mouse live in there?
There might be a mouse in there. I mean, it's conducive to
you
a mouse environment.
Pieces of the Camel X Tower?
Yeah, I got
that.
A bunch of
little pieces of food and drink in there.
The mouse is whispering medical advice to Andy. It's like a Ratatouille doctor.
Maybe you should check it and see if he's got this horrible disease. And he's like, yeah, that's the ticket.
Remy the Rat's like, he's probably developing asthma.
You know, call me
Tell
crazy.
Him not to be scared.
Call me conservative. My idea is that Dave talks to his very qualified doctor about these symptoms.
Yes.
That's a pretty good idea.
That's just, call me crazy.
No, I immediately texted Dr. Knoyer, my ENT, and said, Andrew says I have a deadly disease.
You did not text him that.
Oh, yeah.
Did you really?
Did he agree? Was he like, Andrew's probably right?
He hasn't gotten back to me
Did
yet.
He ask you if you ate any grapes?
Yeah.
He said,
he's familiar with my...
He said, wait, was it Andrew or was it the rat? Which
that
one?
That rat knows his stuff.
Because that rat's got a medical degree.
Gonna make me cough.
Dude, there's nothing worse than that, though, that lingering, like every time you laugh, you're just gonna cough and there's nothing you can do about it. That's the worst.
Yep. Yeah, no, I was saying to the doc, not this one, my other one, I was saying, if I didn't have a radio show, I probably wouldn't even be clocking it.
Probably not.
Because
right.
I wouldn't be talking 4 hours in a row. And,
right.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yep.
So. Speaking of medicine, are pharmacists the most miserable people on earth?
Not the ones I go to.
Oh, the ones I go
really?
To are
they sure seem like it.
Salty.
Yeah.
They do not want to be pharmacists.
Huh.
Yeah. It's like the same thing. I need to go to a new place. I go to a CVS. I won't tell you which one so that they don't
so
spit.
Do I, and they're really cool.
So they don't spit in my pills. But
oh, but they know who you are, Dave.
They put dust in your pills.
But yeah, there's never an interaction with them where it's pleasant. It's like... You know, it's always like, blah, blah.
It's like, oh, what are you here to get your medication or something? Ugh. I hate doing
Now I have to count the pills.
No, I get what... I mean, I think it's maybe unfair to paint all pharmacists like that, but I have definitely come across a few in my day where I'm like, I'm so sorry that I'm here right now. I can tell I am ruining your day. And that goes for like any sort of public facing
I was going to say, I think that's what that
the
is.
The people who just make you feel like, how dare you? How dare you come into my establishment? Like, oh, I am so sorry.
And God help your soul if you have a question for him.
Oh, but I got to believe that being a pharmacist has to be one of the most annoying jobs. Because you must get endless dumb questions and endless complaints like, well, why does it cost that? And I don't know. The computer's telling me that's what it costs. I didn't make the cost. I got to believe that's got to be a frustrating job.
I am guilty of that. There have been a couple of times where it's like a new prescription and you don't know what it's going to be. And then they hit you with like a $60. And it's hard to react well in that moment. It's hard not to kind of have a little bit of like, what are you talking about?
And then you have to be like, well, and is this going to work for Dave too?
Yeah. And then I'm like, well, listen. All right. So listen.
He has shortness of breath.
He's like, if I keep this in a bag at my office, can I give this to other people?
I have a guy who's developing asthma. What can you do for me?
All signs point to complete lung failure.
The rat is no help at all. So before you say anything, yes, I asked the rat first.
That's funny. That's all I had.
All right.
You know what we should do for the stream? Since it feels like Thirsty Thursday, we should do what was your summertime drink as a kid?
Ooh, I've got mine.
Oh, yeah.
What was yours?
It was Kool-Aid. I'm partial to the black cherry Kool-Aid.
Fancy.
That's good stuff.
Really like it. And the way I would make it is I would do the sugar and the Kool-Aid in the bottom of the pitcher and stir those together dry, and then I would take a couple little spoonfuls of just that mixture.
Damn, girl.
Delish.
Yeah, and you have a little just eat that, right?
Yeah, it's like a pixie stick.
Stuff,
it's
man.
Delicious.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Then you fill it
you
up,
never
you
thought
stir
of that,
it up.
Did you?
It's so good.
Get that going in the fridge. Mm-hmm.
I got one for you.
Okay.
Hawaiian Punch was the move.
Ooh. Yeah.
That was the one.
Yeah.
If we ever could get that in the summer, it was the greatest thing ever.
My buddy had Kool-Aid. I don't think we ever had Kool-Aid. I know what my mom and dad had against Kool-Aid, but we were a Weiler's.
I was going to say, you're a Weiler's family.
And was it called Summertime Lemonade?
Country Time.
Oh, Country Time was in the milk carton.
Country Time.
Yeah.
Country Time's good stuff.
They had the Minute Maid one, too. They had a Minute Maid lemonade and fruit punch. Those were awesome.
That's tall cotton.
Well, you mean the Country Time powder in the tub,
yes,
right?
Yes, we only had the powder.
Well, it came in like a milk carton, too, at the store.
No, you have to have a fighter jet at your high school, Rich.
Does anybody else recall the Prairie Farms drink?
Just a drink?
Just called drink. Like the red and the orange.
No.
I feel like I have had it comes in a jug.
Yeah, it comes in a milk jug.
Yeah.
And it's made by Prairie Farms, but it's just like a corn syrup drink.
Brian says Hawaiian Punch popsicles.
Oh, yeah, you could do that. You just make them up. Yeah, you put little toothpicks in the ice thing.
Yeah.
You had to let it get a little bit icy, and then you pop the toothpicks in there, and then it sets, and you can have your own little homemade.
Is the classic called Freezer Pops?
I call them Freezy Pops.
Freezy Pops.
I'm not entirely sure what the actual
brand
name is.
I think the brand is Freeze Pops, but everybody had a
the brand is whatever you find first at the store
Are they still good? Has anyone had one?
Yes, they're amazing.
Actually, the Schnucks Freezy Pops, the Schnucks branded one, every single flavor is so good. Because I usually like to what flavor do I want today? Yeah. Give me any of them. They all taste amazing.
I may need to get some of those.
Tell you what, great summertime move now is the Italian ice.
Yes, I love that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've ever had one.
Oh, man. They got lemon. They got cherry, strawberry. They're so good.
Oh, Vic and Kelly have brought up two of my absolute favorites. Vic brings up those little Kool-Aid things. They came in like the little
Hugs.
Jugs.
Yeah, yeah, the
Huggies.
Little. Yeah,
yeah. Hugs, yeah.
And then Kelly says High C cherry.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
High C is a good one.
The little jugs, were they barrel shaped and you had to peel
the foil off. Yep. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Straight sugar.
And then the Mondos, which were similar to the squeezable Kool-Aids. They had that same weird top that you had to like bend and pop to get off. Capri Sun, which I have some Capri Sun.
Love
right
Capri
now.
Sun. But man, High C, I haven't had that in a long time.
High C was good.
Anything that you wanted but couldn't get?
Oh, yeah.
Drink wise?
Friends. Oh.
Wow.
Man,
you should try giving them some pills.
I do remember. So we would do the Welch's frozen grape juice that you made in the pitcher. That was That was like a rare treat.
We never got that because nobody else in the house liked it but me and my brother.
We used to get the frozen concentrate Five Alive.
Yeah.
Which was just like a poor man's orange juice.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a rich man's
like
orange
tang.
Juice.
Ever tang?
And I just would eat it with a spoon.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah, I almost never made it. Yeah, sort of like
basically like a popsicle.
Thing. Yeah, slushy.
It's got to be good.
Do they still make caffeine-free soda? That was big in my house when I was a kid. Probably because they were trying to get me to be less of a psycho.
Do they still?
Like caffeine-free, like Coca-Cola, not just all soda.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Huh? I feel like I don't see it.
It's everywhere. I mean, there's not. Like you're talking about the ones that normally have it. Like 7-Up never had it, never will. you guys don't even get the joke.
Caffeine.
Dave, did you get that one?
No.
The 7-Up.
Was that their
ad? Caffeine, never had it, never will. And the guy goes,
was it the black guy?
Yeah, the Caribbean sounding dude.
Yeah.
Caribbean sounding dude.
Get some caffeine free soda.
Yeah, if you know where it is, you should buy some.
Yeah, I got some at home.
But no, I mean like the ones that do have it, like
Coca-Cola. Right. Yeah, there's Pepsi and Coke both have it.
Caffeine free Coke.
They used to have Mountain Dew, but I can't find it anymore. They used to have caffeine free Mountain Dew, but I can't find
really?
It. Yeah, it's great.
I think Pepsi Light was my favorite soda of all time.
Really?
Yeah. It was lemon Pepsi.
Oh, that one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, the ultimate summer treat, though, was going to like the fair and getting a lemon shake up or an orange Julius.
Yeah.
I don't know these. I mean, I've heard of them, but I've
You've
never
had
them.
One?
No.
They taste orange. They're delicious.
Boring and confiscated, if that's your best.
S123. What we got going today? We have Brad Young at 2 for 2 segments because we have a lot to talk about. Supreme Court stuff, some political stuff. The president brought in a couple billion dollars last year, you know, while in the Oval Office. And I don't know if there's anything illegal about that. There are certainly ways that you can, you know, do it illegally. But I want to talk to Brad about that, and you know, because if it's hey, the guy's already a billionaire. If he brought in $2 billion more, like okay. So that's coming up at 2. Wiggins, who's going to be with us every Wednesday at 3 p.m., is going to be in. We have Think Tank with Ian Mackey and Dennis Hancock. We can talk to Dennis about you know, what the hell's going on in St. Louis County. You know what we should do for the remainder of this short little segment? Everyone on the stream was telling me what you drank as a kid. What was your summertime activity? Like, obviously, we all did everything. But what, when I say that, what pops in your head? Like, to me, it was nighttime, kick the can. We played Ghost in the Graveyard. We played Freeze Tag. But kick the can was our big one. It was social, especially when you're hitting puberty. You're like, oh, there's the cute girl, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, that was a big summertime memory for me. About you guys?
Non-stop wiffle ball.
Yeah.
Literally never stopped. We started in the morning, took a break for lunch, continued in the afternoon. It was either that or riding bikes, like just taking off on your bikes for the day and just riding everywhere.
And I bet if you took me to your house, you could show me exactly what was a home run, what was a
miss. Yeah, we played from the driveway across the street. My friends' houses were across the street, and if you hit it on their roofs, it was a home run.
Fun. Right?
I mean, I played in the dirt a lot.
You were a country girl.
Yeah. That was like a big thing. I mean, we also would go to, like, being from Grafton, we would go to Raging Rivers all the time.
Oh.
Very privileged to get to go to Raging Rivers a lot.
And you had a creek?
Yeah, there were creeks, yes. I wouldn't say I had a creek, but yes, there were creeks.
Andrew?
I didn't really have a lot of, like, regular games that I would play with friends or anything like that. Not that I can remember, at least.
Back to the friends thing.
I mean, I had friends. I just, you know, I didn't have a lot of friends in, like, the neighborhood. I would say I didn't have, like, my neighborhood chums.
So what would you do?
I'd use my imagination. Run around and pretend. Pretend I was, you know.
A doctor?
A doctor. Pretend I was whatever it might have been.
Diagnose the dogs in the neighborhood.
That was my big thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Andrew's going to start wearing that stethoscope that Julie Lally gave you, Dave.
Yeah,
we do have a stethoscope. I could listen to your lungs.
You want to hear my favorite headline of the day?
Yeah,
I'm reading this right as it was. Woman denies owning cocaine that fell out of her butt.
I saw this.
You see this?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then how did it get there?
That's a good question.
She has an answer.
Oh.
Yes.
She said it was probably due to an intimate encounter that she had experienced.
And you didn't notice?
Yeah, we've all been there.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going on?
I mean,
yeah. I can't see back there, so it's like it could be anything.
Did you just put cocaine in my butt?
Like, could be.
Did this interaction happen like just beforehand? Yes. Like this was like, that was like a half hour ago.
Yes, that's exactly what she said.
In fact, I'm just from that house now.
It was hard to remember because, you know, she was doing cocaine.
Right.
Oh, is that what she said?
I wouldn't. Well, I just assume. Oh. I don't know if you're going to introduce that to the intimate encounter unless you guys are already partaking.
I mean,
right.
Yeah. I could be wrong.
It would be odd if it just happened.
She's like, listen, buddy, I'm on so much cocaine. I don't know what's going on back there.
It would be funny, though.
But I know that's not mine.
What's going on
It's just
there.
A completely run-of-the-mill experience. Right. And she's like, you know what? I bet. That they
I think I got
slipped
it.
That in.
Okay.
I bet this is what it was. I bet she just rolled over and just happened to like sit on it for a second.
Yeah,
didn't
she sat on it. That's what I would have said.
That's what all the nurses at ER say. It's like, I just sat down on it. I didn't know that was there.
Yeah, that seems to be code for I put something there. It shouldn't be there. You know these guys' wheels?
I feel like you do.
Slade?
No.
Old school, English, maybe Irish. One of the first kind of quote-unquote metal bands. And they did this as a remake of someone else's song. But yeah, very cool.
Kevin's
back.
A fake metal fan.
Yeah, didn't know Slade.
At first I thought you were saying Slayer. I'm like, that's not Slayer.
We're going to do some audio for you. Big audio night for me last night.
All right.
The first one is, it's Ron DeSantis, who is making an address and breaks into a Hakeem Jeffries impression.
And we've got this guy, Hakeem Jeffries. Okay. And, you know, he goes out there and he's like, we gonna do maximum warfare against Republicans, Florida Republicans, UF around, you're gonna find out all this stuff. And, you know, what I said was, listen. And he's like, oh, if you do the redistricting, we're going to take out all your members. We're going to do all this stuff.
Kind of fell off at the end there.
Yeah.
Kind of lost his courage.
Couldn't you feel it right before he broke in? You could feel him thinking, should I do this?
I'm going to nail this.
Yeah.
Well, it's not even an accurate impression. Like, that's the really, truly insulting part of it is, like, he doesn't sound anything like that.
Yeah, and it is funny the way that he immediately backed off of it, and you can kind of see him. If you watch the video, you can see him kind of sweating it a little bit.
Yeah.
It didn't sound like he got much of a reaction.
Yeah, and I don't think he got what he wanted from it, and then was like, maybe I shouldn't have done that. No, you shouldn't have run.
So this next one is J.D. Vance talking about how hideous and disgusting people's yard signs who are inclusive and liberal are to him.
Okay, so we're thankfully, thanks to Donald Trump, I would say, we're past the point where most people, at least that I see, hang out those hideous signs in their yard that say, in this house, we believe, blah, 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 blah. You know, love is love.
Water is people. Science, whatever.
No person is illegal. Okay. So that sign is like such a disgusting butchering of the Nicene Creed.
Of the what?
The Nicene Creed is basically the foundational creed of the Catholic Church.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And look, there may be people out there listening, there are, who agree with him. You know, a lot of Republicans, conservatives, MAGA people listen to the show. Not only do I not agree with them, I find what he's saying there to be disgusting. Because when he does the blah, 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 like, hey, don't be a wuss. Be specific. What do people say in their yard signs that disgust you? Because otherwise, we're just going to fill in the blank with anything.
Well, he obviously prefers the very classy, let's go Brandon signs that were everywhere for all those years. Like, nobody's going to like the other side signs. Great. Breaking news. Well, you don't like things you disagree with.
I mean, he's basically just saying gay people are disgusting, right? When he says it's disgusting when you put a sign out that says love is love and XYZ, like, you're not hiding it. Like, we see what you're saying. So it's kind of weird that a vice president of the United States in 2026 would say that that's hideous and disgusting.
What he should do is ask the leader of the church that he belongs to what he thinks.
Yeah.
Maybe ask for some guidance from your spiritual leader.
Last time he had an interaction with Pope Leo, he warned him to stay in his lane.
Well, again, pretty interesting strategy as a quote Catholic.
What would the DGS in this house sign say? In this studio, Andrew's a doctor.
We let the rat do the decisions.
In this house, we just give pills to people.
It'd be nothing good. Ours would truly be hideous and disgusting.
We'd get arrested. We make our own in this house sign.
In this house, we love country time lemonade.
This next one is going to make everyone mad. Republican, Democrat, Independent. This is a House hearing from yesterday where Republican Mike Lawler and Democrat Jamie Raskin did this.
You're a disgrace. You're a disgrace. You're a disgrace. You're an absolute disgrace for a sanctuary.
When you send your kid to college,
it goes on. That went on for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
So
what is that? Like, I couldn't even understand them.
Yeah, it started with a procedural thing and they obviously have it out for each other, and then they just lost their minds.
So Lawler was yelling at Raskin's because he's saying Raskin's support of sanctuary cities is causing illegal immigrants to come in and shoot good, innocent American children. And Raskin is saying, you're accusing me of not caring about that, but then you obviously don't care at all about, like, Renee Good and Alex Pretty, you know, American citizens who were killed by ICE for absolutely no reason. And then they just start shouting back and forth at each other about that.
You, as an adult in a professional situation,
no kidding, right?
You should be able to express yourself without screaming.
Yes.
Especially if you're a public servant.
Yeah, yes. These are our leaders.
Yes.
I mean, it's the same thing as yesterday with the St. Louis County situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to have conflict. Mm-hmm. The way you're going about the conflict is absolutely unacceptable. And you're not a hero to me for, like, screaming over each other and, like, but I got my voice heard. Like, okay, well, actually, no one could hear anything that either of you were saying.
Yeah.
You should be able to talk about this calmly.
This last piece of audio is Congressman Nels, who is a big Trump guy. He's the one who said when Donald Trump says jump, you say how high. He's constantly doing that. And here he is talking about how we need a 10-year moratorium on all immigration, and we need to cover the Statue of Liberty. She needs to go to sleep.
We got to put a bed sheet, a big bed sheet, over the Statue of Liberty. 10 years. 10-year moratorium on immigration. No more. We have to get this under control. The amount of people that are in this country, we don't even know who they are. The tens of millions that came through in the previous administration, we don't know who they are. The people over here on visas, you know, you signed a little deal that says, I come over here for 5 years and then I'm going to leave. They're overstaying their visas. The pecking order is, we got to have a 10-year moratorium on immigration. So we got to have a freeze, put a bed sheet over the Statue of Liberty.
Why a bed sheet?
Instead of having a bed sheet, because she's going to go to sleep for a while. She got to go to sleep for a while because we're not letting anybody in anymore.
Well, some people think a bed
sheet. I'm not saying it's dead. What I'm trying to say is that instead of having a torch, maybe needs a stop sign. Maybe we need a little bit of a stop sign.
Well, so I guess if it was a report card, what grade would you get?
Reasonable.
It's a bed sheet because she's going to sleep. That's why we're getting her an eye mask and a pillow as well.
I mean, seriously, are you
some essential oils?
Are you 10 years old?
That's why we need a giant fan to blow because she can't sleep without the ambient white noise.
That's the level of discourse, though, of a person that's a federally elected official.
Yeah.
You're talking like a child. That's a child's solution to a real-world problem. That is a child's solution. You know what you want to do if you really want to cut back on immigration? Charge the businesses that hire illegal immigrants and don't hire Americans so they don't have to pay Social Security, so they don't have to pay for insurance coverage and all that. If you want to go after the industries that hire people, you might put a dent in it. But, we can't do that because they give us money. I mean, seriously. I've never taken anybody seriously on the immigration issue that doesn't want to enforce the law with the companies, the industries that hire illegal workers.
They're the left and the right are being coalesced in Texas. Did you see that the nun was arrested by ICE?
I did. I saw a headline about
that. Yeah, there's a nun who was on her way to church and ICE nabbed her. And my favorite part is they impounded her rosary. Yeah.
That's evidence.
Took it away from her.
Yeah, when...
So both sides, you're like, that's evidence of maybe her being let's a nun. Maybe there's more dangerous people than tiny nuns.
Dave, what was the name of the bedsheet guy?
Nels. N-E-H-L-S.
Well, when he says something like, all these people are entering the country and we don't know who these people are, what does that mean?
I think he's talking about... I think he's talking about illegal immigrants.
Right, people just showing up.
And those who came in, like asylum seekers. Like they just came in, we don't know who they are, we don't know anything about them. I think that's what he's trying to say.
Yeah, it just feels like a weird, like, fear-mongering, like, we don't know what's going on. We don't know who they are. Like, well, is the odds that, like, all of these people are here with... bad intentions towards the U.S. Like, I don't know. I mean, feels a little intense.
Yeah, there's a very small percentage of people that probably do, but most obviously don't because they're not doing anything. But, like, again, you're not even talking about an actionable solution. Do you think people are going to stop trying to come in because you put a bed sheet over the Statue of Liberty? Like, I mean, he's probably being, you know, what, smartassy, whatever. But like, why? Can you just get into the real deal? And again, please answer why you guys won't go after all the companies and businesses that hire illegal people.
It's because, one, we have began hiring performers as congresspeople.
Yes.
And they are rewarded for performing, yes. Like Senator Kennedy,
yes.
Who's always like, that's a swamp goat's butthole, blah, blah, blah. And now they all want to do it. And I wouldn't be playing him on the DGS if he hadn't said that. Right. So,
well, are we going to halt applications for the Trump gold card?
Something's up with that. I forget what's going on with that.
I don't know. I'm looking at the website right now, and if you make a $1 million contribution, you can receive U.S. residency in record time. If you make a $5 million contribution, you have the ability to spend up to 270 days in the U.S. without being subject to U.S. taxes on non-U.S. income.
Yeah, sounds like a good deal.
So I don't know.
Well, we want rich people. Right? I mean, that's their position.
That's all I had.
Yeah.
It's all the audio.
Something.
Yeah. Song when I was 16 years old at my very first professional gig. We got paid $50 as a band because a junior in high school got his girlfriend pregnant and they got married and had the reception at the VFW. But I had to be home by 11. That was my curfew. And so I had to leave early. And we said, is there anyone here who plays drums? And my friend Bob Mutz came up and he finished the gig for me.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a friend.
I was wearing a Rush shirt, and I wanted to wear white wristbands because it was like 1980, and people did that. But my mom bought them for me, and she bought me brown ones.
Mm. Okay.
Brown sweatbands are never good. But I was a slave to style, so I wore them. So.
Man, that was the worst as a kid when it's like, ooh, there's something I want clothes-wise. And then you get it, and it's like, well, that's not it.
Yeah.
It's kind of close to it, but it's definitely not it.
I got one of the, I forget what year, I was probably maybe 12, somewhere in that range. So this would have been like mid-80s. And I got a sweatsuit for Christmas that was Carolina blue, right? Like baby blue, that powder blue, and brown. And I pulled it out of there, and my reaction was like, nope, never wearing it. I didn't say that,
yeah.
But that's what I think I wore it once.
It's interesting that parents would do that, because put yourself in the parents' shoes. If the parents like, I need a black button-up shirt, and then they go to the store and they get like a green polo and go like, that's close enough, I love it. Like, no, you get the black button-up shirt.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know why you forget what the concept of like needing or wanting a piece of clothing is when it comes to your kids.
Yeah. Vic says, what song? That was Midnight Rendezvous by the Babies.
Bow, bow, listening to Babies.
Yeah, I prefer to listen to Grown Ups. Thank you.
Here's my second favorite headline of the day behind woman denies ownership of cocaine that fell out of her butt. This was in like a real publication, and here's the real headline. Apropos of July 4th, Americans largely in the dark about dangers of hot dogs.
I think we know. We just don't care.
I don't worry about it.
I don't think there's one person who's in the dark about hot dogs.
I think everybody knows it's stuff you don't want to know, and we don't care.
Yeah.
All beef.
Remember when, like a year ago, the study came out that said every hot dog you eat takes 7 minutes off your life?
Yep.
And all of us were like, it's fair.
That's fine.
It's fair.
The stupidest
By the end
study.
Of my life, I might be ready to go.
Yeah.
I might like 3 hours less suffering.
And you will have enjoyed all those hot dogs.
You got to pay the price somehow. That's like saying, like, oh, everything you buy costs you money. Like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Of course it does. I didn't think I was. I didn't think these hot dogs were promised.
Also, nothing works like that. You know, we're not a debit account. We don't just run out of change.
Probably get hit by a bus anyway. You know,
right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You have no idea what's going to be the end.
All those hot dogs you left on the table.
Exactly.
And then you got all those people that never take care of themselves and they live to 100.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is always annoying when it's like, she's 107 and she says the secret is 2 Dr. Peppers for breakfast.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's true.
Dr. Pepper for breakfast, Dr. Pepper in the middle of the night, and I eat 10 hot dogs a day. And that's my secret.
There you go.
Also, I eat an entire carton of cigarettes.
I think that might just be a coincidence.
Right. I think you're alive in spite of that.
Do you guys see that the FBI says that they can definitively say that the 3 people who reached out with ransom notes in the Guthrie case were all fake?
Yeah, I mean, I was a little suspicious when it was like published by TMZ immediately. Remember last week I was asking him, I was like, so how do we have the note? I don't understand. It seems like if the FBI had it for real and was taking it seriously, it wouldn't be just released to the general public like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It felt pretty fake. And how irresponsible of TMZ to just be like, we have it. It's the ransom note.
It was really interesting because I saw the TMZ guy talking about
Harvey
this,
Levin.
And he revealed that he offered the FBI, which I can't believe I didn't figure this out anyway. Of course he did. He offered the FBI to pay this guy the Bitcoin, 60 grand, whatever it was. And then if the guy turned out to be real and gave coordinates to this phone or to Nancy Guthrie's body, he would tell the FBI.
And Why didn't he just do it?
Yeah, yeah.
Why does he have to be like, I need your... Like, the whole thing is just... I mean, they're a very attention-seeking media outlet, obviously. But I just kind of didn't trust it from the beginning because of the way it was being handled. If you're actually treating something with care, you don't do it the way they did it. And then to come out and be like, I offered to pay it, but they said no. Like, just keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.